For us to see a real change in our lives, where we're at, wherever we're plugged in. And today I'm launching a new series that we have called Messy Christmas. Messy Christmas. And when you think about Christmas, often we like to, kind of like create a picture perfect sort of thing around Christmas. You know, that Christmas, because of the movies and everything else, then you're seeing reindeers, you're seeing snow. In fact, I don't know why we sing about snow here in Malawi, during this time. But, we want to create this, amazing, perfect, situation. But when you actually read the Christmas story, it wasn't actually picture perfect. Even the very story of, Jesus Christ being born to this through a virgin, an unmarried, person in this context, just absolutely messed up situation. Where she gives birth, that was a messed up situation. Having the shepherds as the first group to visit the king, that's not a picture perfect sort of situation. So when you read these stories, you see over and over again. In fact, Jesus Christ goes to the opposite, and we wanted to see in this sermon series, can we be real ourselves, that we don't have to create a picture-perfect sort of situation for ourselves, for our own lives. Can we be real? Because the truth that we're going to be dwelling on in the entire sermon series is that God shows up in the mess. So let him show up in yours. God shows up in the mess. So let him show up in your mess. Let him show up in your mess and whatever is going on with you. And we're going to be reading today from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. If you can, would you please stand as we read this passage together? This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. The Lord, because of Jesus, we can be here in this space and say, first of all, we have a union with God, but also we have union with each other. And that because of Jesus, we receive help, we receive hope, we receive grace. Because of Jesus, we are righteous. We have a right standing with God. And God, I pray as we'll be diving in this passage, I ask for your Spirit to help us so that we can embrace your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and have a seat. I don't know if you guys ever have a story that you feel uncomfortable to share. I don't know if you have a part of a story of your life that you are like, you know what, people can know everything else about me, but not this part of my life. Maybe because you are so afraid of, like, if they're really going to know that part of your life, you're wondering, will they embrace me the same way they have? Will they still love me the same way they have loved me? Will they still consider me to be this person, this image that I've created? And I think The reality is that all of us do have stories in our lives that we'd rather keep to ourselves. Stories that would not be willing to share. Or maybe if we share at all, it's just with very, very few people. And sometimes we even have stories that we share, but not all the details. Because we feel like if I was to share every single detail, they would not embrace me the same way. You know, they have embraced me. So we live this life where we are struggling all the time in dealing with this part of our life, this mess that we endured or went through in this part of our lives. And here in this passage, we meet a guy by the name of Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph had a great reputation. In fact, verse 19 says, but Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. He was very, very faithful. He had a great reputation. He was a man full of integrity, and people considered him that way, to be faithful, and he was known to be a faithful guy. But then he finds himself in this situation where he's about to get, you know, to make official this relationship that they had, to be like, okay, do you want to come in my house now? Let's do this. And then she was found pregnant, Mary, and he's like, oh my goodness, this is messed up. Tell me your story again, what happened? Really? And he considers, like, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this situation. This is a messed up situation that I don't want to be a part of it. So he considers leaving her. He considers leaving her quietly. In fact, he was such a man who was full of integrity to the point that even the way he wanted to deal with the mess, he wanted to be very, very careful. So he considered to leave this relationship quietly. He's like, I don't want to be a part of this, but I'm still going to leave it quietly, because he thought his reputation was on the line. His image was on the line. This image of him being a faithful and a man full of integrity. And you might be coming out of maybe a messed up situation. Or maybe some of you in a messed up situation right now. It could be relationship mess. It could be financial mess. It could be sexual mess. In a way, you're dealing with all kinds of addictions sexually and all kinds of stuff there, or behavioral issues, all kinds of mess that you might find yourself. Now, some of you or some of us may find ourselves being in a messed up situation, but it wasn't our choice. Like, we are not the ones that caused the mess. You know, just kind of like Joseph is like, I created everything else. I did my part. I was faithful, but somehow my partner, somehow this other person, my business partner, my coworker, my colleague, my schoolmate, or whoever it is, they have made choices and they have messed up the situation, and I'm a part of it. And you can find yourself to be in a situation like that. But then there are times, if not maybe most of the time, where we find ourselves in a messed up situation because we made bad choices. Because we ourselves made messed up choices. So now we find ourselves fighting battles. We could have waited, but we didn't. So now the situation is messed up. We could have come clean, but we didn't. And now the situation is messed up. We could have been honest, but we weren't. We lied, because we wanted to protect ourselves or maybe protect other people. So now we're in a messed up situation. You could have said no, but you didn't. And now you're in this messed up situation. You could have followed your gut, but you didn't. But now you're in this messed up situation. You could have followed Jesus, but you chose your own way. And now you're in this messed up situation. And often we find ourselves in moments like these that our own choices can have us end up in messed up situations. Now, I want to tell you this. Wherever you're at, whether you find yourself in a mess because someone else caused it and you just found yourself in this crazy situation, or whether you find yourself in a mess because you made bad choices yourself, there's good news. The good news is that Jesus loves to show up in the mess if you let him. Jesus loves to show up in the mess if you let him. Now, before we continue with this story, I must qualify something here. That Joseph finds himself in this situation that he considers to be messed up, And it wasn't really Mary that actually caused the situation to be messed up. It was actually the presence of Jesus that caused this situation to be messed up. And I think we're going to find ourselves that there will be moments that the presence of Jesus Christ is going to create disruption in your life and bring some sort of mess in your life. And sometimes you have to find yourself in a situation where you have to make a choice between your reputation and Jesus. Or like Mary, where she had her own dream of how a wedding will look like, of how her marriage is going to start. And she had all these plans. But then, here comes Jesus, and the presence of Jesus creates this situation where she has now to make a choice between following her plans and her dreams and Jesus. And sometimes we can find ourselves in those places. Now going on, when we look at this story, it kind of like highlights certain temptations that we tend to have when we are dealing with some sort of mess in our lives. Temptation number one is escape. Verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. When Joseph came into this situation and thought, oh wow, I cannot deal with this because of how it's going to ruin my reputation and my image. This is a messed up situation. He thought the easiest way out of that was to escape, to get out of it, to remove himself from the situation. And we tend to find ourselves in this, right? That this becomes our first option. That whenever there is a messed up situation, we want to escape. Exactly what Adam did in the garden, right? He escapes, runs away. And we want to remove ourselves from the situations whenever mess is there, because we want to protect our image, still want to protect ourselves, still want to protect our reputation. So we escape, and we escape in two ways. Number one is just that way, where we disassociate ourselves from the situation. So you would do anything to disassociate yourself from this. And sometimes you can even lie. You can even lie so that you get out of this. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want anybody else to see me being a part of this messed up situation. So I remove myself from it. No, I wasn't a part of that meeting that said we should choose to make this thing. Oh yeah, but the minutes shows that you were there. I don't even remember. Maybe I was sleeping at that time. Disassociating yourself from the situation. And the second way you escape is by disguising yourself. You disguise. And this one, I think, is a big one for all of us. Our biggest temptation is disguise, where we pretend and appear as though everything is working so well in our lives. And we present ourselves to each other. And we love presenting ourselves to each other in a picture-perfect way. And social media hasn't even made it any better, right? Because we only show our highlight reels out there for people to see how beautiful and wonderful my life is. It's amazing. Even when you're sharing about your life and how things are going, we like to wow people. And we want people to be like, wow. Dude, you're living the best of your life. Like, this is absolutely amazing. I envy your life. I want to be like you, you know. We like to put up a face. We like to wear masks. And for you to really be changed, for you to see transformation in your life, you have to be willing to remove the mask. Disguising, as if everything is good, everything is perfect. And we do this sometimes in our home, you know, like those times when, you know, a friend calls like, hey, I'm coming over, see you soon. I hear like, oh, wait a minute, my room is not clean. You know, let's just throw everything under the bed, you know, or the closet. So when they come in, they're like, oh, wow, Humphreys, you're amazing, dude. Look at how clean your home is. But we're just throwing things under the rugs, under the bed, in the closet. And I want to say that it's easy for you and I to hide. It's very, very easy for us to put on a mask and not show our true faces. This community, Flood Church, is a fantastic community. Amazing congregation. Most people that come here, they'll talk about how loved they are or how welcome they felt when they came to this. And they're like, oh, this is a really community I really enjoy. And if you're really plugged in here, you experience that. If you haven't, I'm sorry. We need to do better in that area. But for most part here, people love being a part of this congregation because, you know, we encourage each other, like, come the way you are so that you can encounter Jesus and move out of his presence the way he is. You know, all of us are weak people that we can grow together. So come and be a part of this congregation. So this is a fantastic community, but I also must say, it's also an easy community for you to hide. You can easily hide here. Unless you're willing to show yourself up. You can hide easily. Just show up on a Sunday and not really plug in. Just come in and just be a part of the group, the crowd, and not really be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is why we are so big about talking about transformation. You know, but transformation cannot happen if you're unwilling to change. You've got to be willing to partner with God as he changes lives, as he changes your heart, your life. You have to be willing to take off the mask and show yourself up. So that's the first temptation that we have, is we want to escape, and we do that by disassociating ourselves or disguising ourselves. The second temptation that we have, that we see from this passage, is when we're dealing with mess in our lives, we want to expose. We want to expose. Verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph finds himself in a messed up situation, and he says, I'm going to escape out of it. But the way I would do it, I'm not going to expose Mary. I'm going to do this quietly. But we know that he had the other choice, which was to expose, right? To expose Mary and come out and be like, hey, let me tell you what actually happened. You know, I'm not the one that actually created this whole situation. It was her. It was Mary. And I'm calling this a temptation because when we go through messed up situations and we want to expose them, often it's not out of being transparent, but it's by being motivated, by having wrong motives. And those wrong motives, number one, they show through wanting to justify ourselves. Where you want to justify yourself. Let me tell you what went down. The reason why I cheated is because my girlfriend was not listening to me and she was not willing to come to this place. That's why I cheated. Oh, the reason why I cheated is because my boyfriend doesn't want to come on a date with me, so I did this thing. You wanted to justify yourself, wanted to justify the action. Because of this, that's why I'm here. Exactly what Adam does, right, in the garden. I'm not the one. Come on. I'm finding myself because of this, wanting to justify yourself. And people who want to expose the situation because they want to justify themselves, they miss the opportunity of letting the truth confront them because they want to believe lies. They want to believe lies. And I think the second motive that we have when we want to expose other people is when we vilify others, you know, or villainize other people. And Joseph had the opportunity to villainize Mary and be like, hey, I'm going to show who the messed up person is in this scenario. Just hear her stories. He says some guy came to her and says the Holy Spirit, you know, is going to come through, and therefore she's pregnant because of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how messed up that is? And in their context, you know, if he was going to be her word against his word was going to win, you know, because in this context, a man's word, you know, was considered always to be true, you know. Oh, yeah, he must be true. He cannot be lying. And we know him to be a faithful guy, a guy who is full of integrity. So we know he's speaking truth in this. But whenever you villainize other people, whenever you're going out exposing other people's faults and flaws, you're actually being motivated by pride. pride is knocking. In fact, he's sitting at the table with you. Because in that moment, what you're doing is that you want to showing people like, hey, I am better than this guy. I am better than them. Or, I'm not as bad as they are. I'm not as bad as they are. And we need to be very, very careful. We need to be very, very careful. Whenever you've gone through some sort of mess and you find yourself wanting to justify yourself or to villainize other people, you might actually miss God in that moment. So the way of Jesus whenever you're in a mess is not for you to escape. The way of Jesus whenever you're in a mess is not for you to expose others, which is definitely motivated by wrong motives and intentions. So what's the way of Jesus? The way of Jesus is to embrace. Embrace. Verse 20 and 21 says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God instructs Joseph to be like, I know you are considering leaving, but I want you to embrace this situation. I know it's not ideal. I know you're thinking like, hey, this is not, you know, what you would have hoped for your life. And you're feeling like, this is crazy. I cannot be a part of it. But I want you to embrace. I want you to embrace this situation. Don't run away. Embrace it. Embrace the mess in your life because God embraces you. God embraces you. And let me remind you something. You are God's mess. You are God's mess. Because he created you. And he created you to give him honor and to glorify his name. But how many times have you dishonored his name? How many times have you not lived to what God calls you to live? And you being a mess, God embraces you. And he comes in. And guess what? The Bible says he comes in as Emmanuel. God who dwells with his mess. God who dwells with us. He comes in. He embraces us. He never runs away from us. Never runs away. In fact, he runs after us. He runs after you. He comes after you. It's God Emmanuel. And often I think, you know, when I look at my life, how messed up my life. I share a story of a time 15 years ago when I ran away from God and like literally didn't want to do anything else to do with God, to do with Jesus. I hated going to church, didn't even want to see a church, didn't even want to listen to any Christian song. And that coming from that place to being here talking about Jesus fondly, like feeling that I love him. And I think of David who says, who is man that God should be mindful of? Who am I? Who am I? And maybe some of you can find yourself in that place like, really, who am I that God would love me so much? Because you look, you see the mess in your life or what you've been through and you're like, really, God loves me like that? But he is God Emmanuel who embraces he's messed up people so that through him we can find mercy, we can find healing, and we can find grace. And things will never be fixed whenever you run away. Never. It's only going to be fixed when you embrace it. Embrace. Embrace the mess. So what do you do with this? Joseph receives a dream from God to encourage him to stay and to be in there and to embrace this situation. It could be for you right now. Maybe some of you are going through some messed up situation just as I'm talking because of maybe the choices you have made or maybe other people have made some choices that have led you to be in this messed up situation. How could embracing look like? Number one, embracing looks like this is through confession. Confession. Confess it. Confess the situation. Unless you can confess it, you will not be willing to face it. You'll not be willing to face a situation unless you're willing to confess it. Confess your struggles. Confess. Don't put up a face. Don't pretend. Don't just throw things under the rug and put them in the closets and let them rot there, because eventually they'll stink and people will know what you're keeping in that closet. So you gotta confess it. You have to be willing to face it, to confess it. Because your unwillingness to confess your mess shows your willingness to not change. Because if you're not willing to confess it, then you are sending a message that you are unwilling to face it, therefore unwilling to change. So you need to be willing to confess it. Because through confession, you choose growth over comfort. It's not easy to confess things, right? It's not easy. And I must say, we must be real here. Sometimes people fail to confess things because they know how people use other people's stories against them. And we find ourselves being afraid because you are like, hey, if I'm going to share my story, and somebody else might use it against me. And I hope that us as a church, as a community of God, would encourage each other to be real and to be open so that we find God, we find compassion, we find support, and that all of us would be willing to journey with people rather than judge people. Because you can either journey with people or you will judge people. And I hope we will be willing to journey with each other, to be on a journey with people growing together for transformation. That's one of our values. Confession. Number two, embracing, is through repentance. Repentance. Confession is a great place for you to start. Because healing begins there. Healing begins when you begin to confess. But you don't just confess it. You have to repent. And scripture here talks about when Joseph, when he considered this and God through his angel speaks to him for him to stay, he changed his mind. That's what repentance is. Repentance is changing your mind. Changing your mind. Where you turn around, like I was falling that way, but I'm now out of it. I'm turning around. There's a great teacher word for word repentance called Tembenuka. Tembenuka, which is you are literally going this way and you have turned 180 degrees and you're going the other direction. Tembenuka, that's word for repentance. So choose repentance. Whenever God exposes certain mess in your life, confess it, but also repent. Change your mind. Be willing to make some changes, because your life will not change unless you're willing to make life changes. You got to be willing to embrace certain changes. And most of us want the benefit of transformation without willing to go through the cost of it. The cost of what gets you there to live a transformed life. And this is when you're making choices in line with the transformation that God desires for you in your life. That is the fruit of repentance, and God demands of it. Now, I just want us to take a minute or so to just look in your own life. What mess is there in your life right now? Could it be some relationship that's there in your life isn't going well? And you don't want to even touch that situation. You don't even want to get that out there because you're not sure how people see you. One of the struggles we have is, would they still love me if they were to know this part of my life? Would they still embrace me if they were to know this part of my life? So what mess is there in your life? When you look at the situation, you're like, oh, this part of my life is so messed up. I wanted to invite God in. Just take a moment to invite God in, because He is God Emmanuel, God with us, who comes in and dwells with us. Do you bring that up to God and invite Jesus in that situation? Just take a moment to pray over that. Jesus, we come to you. Come to you with our mess, and some of us in our mess. Whatever situation we consider that it's not really looking good. It's not looking right. God, we bring that to you, Lord. God, we come as we are, not like someone else. We don't want to pretend. God, I pray that may you forgive us. But sometimes we made choices that have created messes in our lives, or maybe sometimes in other people's lives. So forgive us, Lord. And wherever you're calling us to repent, that we would repent. We would change our mind and follow God and follow His ways. And agree with Him wherever He's inviting us, He's calling us to. God, I pray that may you come in. May you come in, Lord, for you are our Emmanuel, the God with us. And that God will be willing to lay it all at the feet of Jesus, that take our mess so that we can receive your mercy. Take our mess so we can receive your grace. Take our mess so we can receive your love. Give it all to you, Jesus, this morning. God, I pray for every single one of us in this space. I pray, God, that may we more embrace truth rather than lies, even that come with messed up situations. Lies that say you're not enough. Lies that say, hey, you're not worthy because of this messed up situation. But may we remember that in Jesus we are embraced because He comes and dwells with us. He's our Emmanuel. Be exalted, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to worship God one more time, and if you can, would you please stand as we worship?